Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the broadcast. Listen, I want to be sure to let you know that CAC is now a host site for Angel Food Ministries. Now, there are no qualifications based on income. The Angel Food Ministries slogan is, if you eat, you qualify to buy. There are no income guidelines. Each month, they introduce a new menu for an amazing price. The April 2008 menu is online on our website at cac.us.com/angelfood. Again, that's cac.us.com/angelfood. Now, I'm not talking about government commodity cheese. Folks, this package includes ribs, steak, chicken. It's an unbelievable mixture of food for a tremendous price. Check it out today. You will not be disappointed in the package of food you get from Angel Food Ministries. Our church receives no profit from this. It's just something we're doing because it's the right thing to do. All right, we want to get you started with some music by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. This song is called Hallelujah, Your Love Amazes Me.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Your love is surprising, and I can feel it rising. All the joy is growing.
All right, I'm looking at the clock, and I believe we have time to squeeze in one more song today by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. This next song is one of my favorites. I know you're going to love it. The name of the song is simply Fall Down.
What can I say that you have never heard? What can I offer you? Where can I go that you have never been? That you can lead me through?
The Bible tells us that God issued a promise that whosoever would bless the Jewish people would be blessed by God, and whosoever would curse the Jewish people would be cursed by God. And having chosen the Jewish people as his own, and in so much as they also chose him as their God, God promised to bless anyone that would bless them and curse anyone that would curse them. Now, during the Old Testament period, a non-Jewish person, that is, someone born in any tribe or nation other than Judaism, and such people would be called Gentiles, a Gentile could become part of the people of Israel by baptism. This was called Jewish proselyte baptism. And after the person was baptized, they would need to willingly seek to practice obedience to the Jewish laws, codes, and regulations. Such a Gentile could thus become part of the kingdom of God. Now that the new covenant has come into effect, Gentiles can become part of the kingdom of God directly, so to speak, without having to become part of the people of Israel as a nation. The geopolitical nation of Israel still exists, but you can become part of the kingdom of God without becoming an Israeli citizen. Now, the conversion process under the new covenant still involves baptism, both water baptism and spirit baptism. Only now it is baptism into Jesus' name, not baptism into Judaism. In other words, we might call it Christian proselyte baptism instead of Jewish proselyte baptism. And this conversion still involves afterward willingly seeking to practice obedience to the law of Christ. And I'm using that term to refer to living according to the teachings of the whole Bible with regard to morality and with regard to love. But in the new covenant, instead of one becoming Jewish and being required to follow all Jewish laws and codes and regulations regarding ceremonies and rituals and diet, the Christian believer can instead adhere to New Testament ceremonies and rituals as long as they study the Bible as a whole, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and seek to discern the entirety of the teachings of the Bible regarding morality and holiness. And yet, early on in the Christian era, some of the Christianized Jewish believers deemed it necessary that all Gentile converts to Christianity had to learn and practice all Jewish laws, codes, and regulations regarding ceremonies and rituals and diet. Such people became known as Judaizers because the bottom line was that they sought to Judaize or make Jewish all the Gentiles who converted into the kingdom of God in the New Covenant. Now, their arguments were so fine-sounding and convincing that they succeeded in drawing some Gentile Christians into following Jewish codes and regulations regarding diet and rituals and ceremonial practices. Their debate tactics were so effective that the movement had momentum for over three centuries before it finally lost steam. The New Testament has some very blunt statements to help us avoid being deceived by Judaizers, but during the early years of Christianity, the New Testament did not yet exist. It was being written as part of the development of the early church. Now, what's even more amazing than the early Christians having been convinced to take up practice of all the Jewish code is that even still today, from time to time, some New Covenant Gentile Christians will buy into the idea that they must take up and practice all those Old Testament regulations regarding ceremonies and rituals and diet. Even though the New Testament decries it as a departure from faith in Jesus, it still happens. Yet, Colossians 2:16 teaches Christian believers, "Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day." Now, in the book of Colossians, the words power and authority are used several times. Now, given the overt clarity of verse 16, the verse I just quoted to you, in this passage, the contextual meanings of the words powers and power and authority obviously include reference to those who would seek to enforce Jewish code regulations upon Christian believers. The passage teaches us that their authority to enforce Jewish ceremonial code is now canceled. This is the core meaning of the repeated mentions of powers and power and authority in the chapter. Powers refers to any judging persons who presume to have such authority over Christians. Notice the apostle's specificity in verse 16 where, regarding those who would presume to judge Christian believers as pertaining to codes about eating and drinking, religious festivals, new moon celebrations, and Sabbath days, Paul wrote clearly, "Do not let anyone judge you." In other words, don't let anyone take you to task, tell you that you must keep such codes, and judge you for not keeping them. Now, the apostle's teaching in this does not proclaim that a New Covenant believer should not be expected to uphold the moral values of the Jewish scriptures. In other words, the implications of morality handed down by Moses and the prophets. But clearly, there is no authority in any Jewish people that were supposedly converted to Christianity to demand of a Christian compliance with Jewish ceremonial codes and regulations. For us, as Christian believers, the old ceremonial codes are canceled. See verse 14. That is, they are null and void as far as New Covenant Christians are concerned. This is especially clear regarding all those code regulations pertaining to diet or nutrition and religious festivals, new moon celebrations, and Sabbath days. And it is implicit that any ceremonial practice or ritual of the Jews that does not pertain to morality is not enforceable upon Christians. And even while the Mosaic code of ceremonies and rituals is not enforceable upon Christians, in the New Testament we can see that some new ceremonies are now commanded for Christian believers. For example, just as the old code commanded physical circumcision as a rite of passage into the people of God and into the kingdom of God, the New Testament commands water baptism in Jesus' name as a rite of passage into the kingdom of God. It seems apparent from other passages elsewhere in the New Testament that a Christian believer of Jewish descent may be permitted to continue to live according to Jewish codes and regulations if he or she so desires, but such is not necessary for his or her salvation in the New Covenant. Such a New Covenant believer need not adhere to the old codes unless there is some extenuating reason, one not pertaining to salvation. And clearly, the Jewish ceremonial codes are not supposed to apply to the Christian believer that is not of Jewish descent. It is reiterated that the moral implications are not canceled. Only requirements regarding rituals are not enforceable. The reason? The old ceremonial codes foreshadowed the oncoming reality that was later revealed in Jesus the Christ. And now we have Jesus. Verse 17 makes it clear, I'm quoting, "These," speaking of the old codes and the old practices, the old ceremonies, "these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." Now, this does not mean that the old codes were meaningless. Rather, it correctly discerns their meaning, and thus we can live according to the reality to which they properly led. Some examples are given to help us understand the true, proper meaning of the old codes. Just as some ceremonial practices were essential for a believing Jew before Jesus came, so also certain ceremonial practices of faith are essential for a believing Christian now that Jesus has already come. We already mentioned one example. In the old code, there was a ceremonial ritual, the essential practice of physical circumcision performed by the hands of men. This was done at the command of God. However, that ceremony simply foreshadowed the reality of water baptism in Jesus' name. See verses 11 through 14, especially verses 11 and 12. So, the old shadow of physical circumcision was a symbol of and led to the reality found in Jesus, which is forgiveness of sins realized in water baptism in Jesus' name and receiving the baptism of the Spirit. Another example is that the Jews were required to keep Passover by slaying a lamb. Now that was a foreshadowing of the death of Jesus, whom the New Testament calls the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Thus, New Covenant Christian believers now demonstrate that Jesus, the Lamb of God, has already been slain by not continuing to slay a physical lamb each year, and by instead observing communion and other ceremonies, such as foot washing, as taught and commanded by our Lord. A shadow is not automatically an invalid thing. It is not intrinsically unusable or without benefit. Notice, if one can see only the shadow of a thing or person and cannot yet see the real object or person casting the shadow, then one can seek to know the location or direction, the shape or image and movement, etc., of that real object or person by simply focusing on its shadow. However, once the real object or person comes into view, one can indeed cease from focusing on the shadow and can instead focus upon the real object or person. The old codes and regulations were simply foreshadowing the reality found in the person of Jesus Christ. So, Ceremonial rituals like physical circumcision and Passover were not invalid. The Jews of the Old Covenant were not wrong for their obedience to God in practicing physical circumcision and Passover as commanded by God. However, now that the reality is in clear view, including water baptism in Jesus' name, spirit baptism, communion, and foot washing, etc., as our Lord taught and commanded, it would be gross negligence and an offense to our God to refuse to adhere to the revealed reality while instead continuing to focus on the old shadow. We must adhere to the reality that is in clear view. This revealed truth is part of what Paul the Apostle calls, and I quote, full riches of complete understanding in Jesus. See verse 2. That which was formerly a mystery of God can now be fully known by those who are in Jesus. See verses 2 and 3. In Jesus are hidden, and I quote, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 3. When we are in Him, these treasures are revealed to us. Thus, by his writing to the Colossians, Paul encouraged us as Christian believers to not let anyone deceive us by fine-sounding arguments. See verse 4. According to Paul, we can be ensnared into maintaining the old codes. In doing so, we remove ourselves from the grace of God in Christ Jesus and place ourselves back under the old when we should have stayed in the new. We should not and must not do that. In verse 8, Paul warned, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Take note that it is not the old codes themselves that depend on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, but rather it is the fine-sounding arguments and the deceptive philosophy that depend on such. Down through the centuries since the church age began, some very clever arguments have been employed, and some Christians have been tricked, taken captive by those arguments, allowing themselves to be judged according to old ceremonial codes. But according to verses 6 and 7, instead, we are to continue to live in Him, that is, in Christ Jesus the Lord, just as we first received Him, verse 6. And in so doing, we can live rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith, as we were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. That's verse 7. In the old code, a list from God made certain animals ceremonially clean and others ceremonially unclean. In the new code, by which I mean the biblical way of doing things in the new covenant, all animals are ceremonially unclean until the Christian believer prays over the food with thanksgiving unto God. Then God cleanses the food via prayer with thanksgiving, making it ceremonially clean and acceptable to eat for the new covenant believer. In both covenants, there is ceremonially clean food. Each covenant differs in the practice. The former is called a shadow. The latter is called a reality in Jesus. Now this is a spirit-inspired picture of the nations of people before the new covenant and after. Before the new covenant, the clean people were the tribes of Israel. All else were ceremonially unclean. A person had to change which list he was on, change his citizenship and his national allegiance to get into the kingdom of God. Under the new covenant, a person of any nationality can be made clean by gaining entrance into the kingdom of God by faith in Jesus with obedience to the simple rituals commanded of new covenant believers. The old way is called a shadow. The new way is called the reality we have in Jesus Christ. Let me read the entire passage by way of concluding. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. I'm reading from the New International Version. Paul wrote, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Indeed, we stand upon the blood of Jesus Christ and the covenant that He has made with us. We stand upon that and nothing more. We seek to live according to the moral dictates of the Scriptures and live up to the law of Christ as best as we can with His help. And we know that keeping those old codes is not a way to earn or keep salvation. Instead, we keep the new covenant codes and regulations, including things like water baptism, foot washing, and communion. Well, I hope this lesson has helped you gain some understanding of the difference between the Old Testament shadows and the New Testament reality. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.